Born again? Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Such a simple truth that is not just for children. It's usually what we equate it with. But Jesus loves you indeed. And we are here. We took a week off from Acts last week. We're back in it. Acts 3, verses 1 through 10 this morning. We'll be in Acts chapter 3, first 10 verses today. As we look at Peter and what's going on in this area more specifically. I didn't forget an update, a health update of mine. We did go to Vanderbilt on Friday. He has now just said that it is not the occipital nerve since the block is doing nothing. He said even if you get relief for an hour, we know we're in the right area. But since I was getting nothing, he's moved on. And he now says that the spaces between the vertebrae and my neck, where the nerves kind of weave in and out, that's his next potential target. In 3 weeks, we're going to get injections under an x-ray machine. Some short-term numbing medicine, like lidocaine. And he said we'll know if we're in the spot pretty quickly. And if that works, insurance says they have to do that again to make sure to work again. And then they'll have something more long-term. But that's where we're at in our lives. And all the kids, Lucy's doing better. No one else got sick. And they'll be back to school on Tuesday. And then we'll play this game again. In school and wife working at the hospital and all the many things going on in our area. But I was thinking about that, doing this. We're at the hospital. We're at Vanderbilt. And you go to those places, you're seeking a change usually. You have something wrong with you. You're seeking intervention. You want pain relief. You're there for surgery. You're looking for a difference when you're going to these places. You're sick, you're going to the hospital, whatever it is. We're going to look at change in our text today. Anyone ever had a moment in their life that they thought would change everything, but it actually nothing changed as a result? Can you think of those kinds of moments? You thought it was coming, but it never did. I think about it in terms of money. A lot of people know it in terms of money. Maybe you got a raise and you're thinking everything's going to be easier now. This is more money means you're going to have more room to breathe, and then you have a surgery or you have to fix your car or whatever it is, and you're right back to where you were. I remember the amount of money we were spending on diapers and formula. We first had Lucy. And we got her out only to get Molly in diapers and formula, and then only to get Maggie in diapers and formula. And we thought, man, as soon as we can stop buying these things, we're going to be living the high life. We know how much money we're throwing into this stuff. And then that stopped, and then instead we had a car payment, or we had daycare bills. And we just had more of the same. We're going to look at this change in our text today. Not from the fact that nothing changes, but we're going to see that everything changes, or you did not meet Jesus.
Amen.
And we're going to see it in three parts. Cared for by others, cared for by Peter, and the gospel revealed through change. Acts 3, verse 1. Let's stand and read God's word together. Verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you that we have the opportunity to gather as your people and to dive into your holy word. Help us to open our hearts and minds to let these words of yours set upon us and change us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So a couple weeks ago now, we saw what the church looked like at the very beginning. That's what we were looking at. We saw them gathering and worshiping and meeting needs. We also saw them reaching out and helping others and sharing the gospel. This is what we saw on our pages. The church was doing all these things, and God was growing them every day. This is the picture of the church we should strive to be. Are we there? This week we're back to Peter and his boldness. We know good old Peter. We've looked at miracles many times in the past, and some of them have involved Peter, but never have any of them been performed by Peter on our pages. This is what we're going to look at today. We're going to begin with opportunity, the lame cared for by others. The context of our passage today is still in the midst of the church's beginning. That's where we are, spirit-filled people in this place, reaching out and gathering together daily. Last time we saw part of this takes place in the temple. They were gathering in their homes and in the temple. This would be for prayer and for worship and to give back to God. Our text indicates that the apostles are here for prayer. That's what it says. This speaks to their daily prayer devotion and not to a devotion of temple practices. If it was a temple practice, if it was a ritual or a sacrifice, it would have been mentioned. So their focus here, the focus here is their focus on God. This is where we pick it up today. Last section was an overhead look of this scene in this entire area, the scene on your maps, on your handouts. The entire area, and now we will zoom in to John and Peter and where they are. The text says they were headed to the temple and this beautiful gate. Now, there's no real consensus at which gate the beautiful gate is. They all had names, but Luke uses this beautiful description instead. On your maps, on the right side of the Temple Mount is what is called the Golden Gate. This would be an option if Luke considers the Gentile courtyard as part of the temple. This gate enters the Gentile courtyards. Gentiles were not allowed in the temple, so they had to worship and sacrifice outside in the courtyards. You also have a little square box on your map. This is a possible location. This is where Josephus, the church historian, says this gate is. This is the only gate made out of Corinthian bronze, which was more valuable than gold. Corinthian bronze, and it actually enters the temple, separates the Gentile courtyards from the inner temple courtyards. Once inside, you're further divided, women and Israelites and priests, all the way into the Holy of Holies. So the square box equals a possible location, but there are others. This is where we are, but what is happening? A lame man is at the beautiful gate. Why here? Because he cannot enter the temple. Any illness or affliction means you are considered unclean. This meant no access to the temple. It meant no access to society. Your ailment had to cease and then the proper rituals performed before you could be considered clean again. So this is as close as he can get to entering the temple, and this is as close as he can get to crowds. Our text says he asks for alms, and this is simply donations to the needy or the poor. It is important to note that his condition not only makes him unclean in the eyes of the Jews, but also to the Greeks, to the Romans. The Jewish people would have related it to some sin or wickedness in his life. And the Gentiles, Romans, Greeks, would have said that this was an outward sign that reveals his inner weakness or lack of character. So he is shunned by almost all people. Why almost? He's late here every day. Scripture says someone packed him to this place. They're packing him daily. Now in chapter 4, we're going to figure out that this man, we're going to be told that he's in his 40s. He's in his 40s, and here we're told he's lame since birth. This means we're looking at potentially 3 to 4 decades of this man needing this kind of assistance. What we're seeing here is someone who has a physical and a financial and a spiritual need. Lame and poor and cannot enter the temple. Now these people who've got him to this place have done him a great service. They've packed him here. Being seen in this kind of situation with this person would have considered them unclean as well. They also likely did it because he's likely a relative, and this is how he contributes to the family, by begging. So this is where we are. This is who we are looking at. What are we to see in this? This man has been laid at this location for most of his life. 30 plus years of the religious passing him by. That's what happens here daily. Some have been giving to him. Some have noticed him, but most simply pass him by. We know this by the parable of the Good Samaritan. Someone was down on the road and injured in need of assistance, and the religious elites crossed to the other side of the road, one after another. We're not helping this man. We'll be unclean ourselves. And it took someone non-religious to help the person in need, a Samaritan. Even the giving ones here at this gate, giving alms, are giving because their traditions and laws require it. This is why. 30 plus years. What would this feel like? Cannot be on your own by no fault of your own. Cannot sacrifice or worship or enter the temple by no fault of your own. Cannot earn a living by no fault of your own. Begging is all you have, and you are mostly ignored. It would not feel good. Now we might be saying to ourselves, in this moment, I would have done something. I would have helped this man. That's great. I love hearing that. Now apply it to your own lives. You're the religious. You may say, I'm not religious. Well, you're the Christian. You're the one who knows Jesus. Ever pass anyone by? Ever in a position to help and do not? Ever have a chance to share the gospel and do not? Remember, this man's condition is physical and financial and spiritual. Jesus never calls you to be all things to all people. But he has called you to be his, to be his ambassador. Paul says this to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, meaning all I've said about Jesus to this point, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Can you imagine what an ambassador looks like that never offers help? That never represents the one who sent them? They would not be representing anything we want to be a part of. Maybe sometimes you run into a physical need that you can meet, a financial need that you can meet. That is great. Please do these things when you can. This builds bonds. This forms relationships that last. But more importantly, there is one need you can always meet. Sharing the gospel.
Amen.
Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone is a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know the Savior. That's it. It's that simple. Your kids, your grandkids, your spouses, your neighbors, your co-workers, all your friends, all your family, everyone you have ever met needs Jesus.
Amen.
Have they heard this from you? Are you passing them by like a beggar on the sidewalk in a crowded place? Or are you looking them in the eyes and doing what you are called to do? Not calling them to be perfect. Not calling them to snap their fingers and change everything about themselves. Not calling them to be us. Please do not be me. I'm far from perfect. Simply calling them to Jesus. That's it. Your life and your words leading to Jesus. In our text, it was someone packing him to this spot like they've done for over 3 decades. You never know what it'll be that gets them there, and you do not know the timing, but you know what you can do, and you do it. Jesus says to help the needy, to help the poor. What we do for the least of these, we do for him. This includes sharing the gospel. Is this us? Peter looks this man in the eyes. Let's continue. The lame cared for by Peter. Peter's come a long way here from the man that was seeking into that lake. You remember Peter on that lake? If it's you, Lord, call me, and I'll come out to you. And there he goes. And then he gets distracted, and there he goes under. Peter's sinking. He's a long way from that man that was rebuking Jesus. We remember this. What kind of self-confidence does it take to look Jesus in the eyes and tell him he is wrong? That's Peter. Sadly, this is what we do every time we side with the world and not the Bible. No. Then Peter comes to a moment that he told Jesus would never happen. Never happen, and it happened. He turned from his Savior. We looked at this moment. The rooster crowed. We hate reading it, but we love the story because it is all of our stories. We have all felt the crow of that rooster. Amen. Denying Jesus at every turn until he comes to us and touches our very hearts, our very souls, his spirit, and then everything changes. This is who Peter is now. He's the follower of the Son of God, led by the Spirit of God. This is why this changed. What changed? First, it was Peter in the sermon. We looked at this, standing up in front of thousands of people to explain what they were witnessing and to point them to Jesus. The rooster crowing was but a distant memory. Now, in our text, Peter steps out again. It's not to address a crowd, but we will see this again next week. It's to address a person. A person not thought of as a real person by the vast majority of this area. Peter sees the lame at this gate. This is likely not their first meeting. Peter's been around with Jesus for some time. He's been in this very place for months. These two have likely crossed paths before, but not like this. What has changed? The Spirit of God. We can imagine all the times he's passed by before. We can imagine his thoughts. Why is this man here again? I wish I could help you, buddy. But I have no food for myself. I have no money for myself. I have nothing to offer you. We know these are probably his thoughts because he is just a person, just like every one of us, and we have all been there. Want to help but cannot. Cannot because of no resources, or cannot because of no courage. Usually it's a mixture of both. What changed today? First, Peter's on a spiritual high. He's indwelled by the Spirit of God. That's all it takes. Indwelled by the Spirit of God. He's seen it move in this place, and now he has 3,000 brothers and sisters because of this Spirit. This would make you feel bold. What else? He's realized that he does have a gift to give them. It took 3 years of ministering with Jesus, and it took denying him and then being reunited to him. It took waiting on the Spirit, and it took Peter speaking to 3,000 people being moved by the Spirit. It took all these things and many other moments in his life to realize he had a gift to give. So what happens? What is the gift? First, Peter and John turn and acknowledge this person. This is first. This sounds simple, but this is profound. It also connects him back to Jesus, back to the moment in which his faith faltered. Remember when the rooster crowed, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Peter looked his Savior in the eye as he walked away from him. Now Peter is the one who fixes his gaze. Many people you pass by every day. Most look like they're living normal lives. Many of these people want to be seen, to be acknowledged, to have a conversation, to be loved, to realize they exist and are important. If you do not believe me, then try having a conversation next time at that cash register. Try waving at that person in your path. You'll see the change on their faces. You'll see the difference an interaction makes. Some of you do realize this because you yourself have longed for this. You need this. This man here is mostly ignored, but he is acknowledged by Peter. What's next? This man informed him that all the things he wants, he's informed that all the things he wants, Peter cannot give him. That's kind of a bummer, right? I know what you want. You want the silver and gold? I have none of that. It's probably an emotional roller coaster ride at this point, but he doesn't leave him there. What I have, I give to you. What is this lame man expecting? Money, right? Not silver or gold. He says he doesn't have it, but something else. Or maybe clothes, maybe food. He is likely not expecting to be told to get up and walk. Get up and walk. When I say it, it feels like on its face, like something I would say to one of my buddies right after they got hurt playing sports. You're in a pickup basketball game, twists his ankle. Get up and walk it off. It's not quite what's happening here in our text. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. At this point, this man has no clue what's going on. Did he really tell me, a person who has never walked or at least without assistance, to get up? Who did he think he is? Then he's helped up and realizes his legs are healed. And he began leaping and walking. This man has now been healed, not by Peter, but by Jesus and his Spirit. Imagine this moment. 40 years of helplessness shattered in a moment by a man who took time to look you in the eyes. Took time to point you to the Savior. What would this feel like? Now, the point of this section is not to tell you that in faith you have the power to heal. It's not telling you to go around and tell people in wheelchairs to get up and walk. Please do not do this. However, it is telling you that someone in your life needs your attention. Maybe they've been overlooked by everyone. Maybe for years they have felt alone. Peter here is showing us that you do have something to give. It does not have to be silver or gold. It does not have to be some material possession. It does not have to be a miracle. It may just be attention. It may be a kind word. It may be the gospel. This man lying next to this gate would have missed Jesus if it were not for the people that got him there. And he would have missed Jesus if Peter had not acknowledged him. Two sides of the same coin, and they both worked together to get this man what he truly needed. What everyone truly needs, to be helped and to be loved and to feel needed and to meet their Savior, Jesus Christ. Everyone in your life needs this. Everyone. Are you the passersby ignoring him? Ignoring the problem, or are you part of the solution? Jesus has called everyone who believes in him to be part of the solution. Which is it? Next, we'll see the results of those efforts that we've witnessed here on the pages. The gospel is seen through change. Let's read the last two verses together. Verse 9, and all people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. We can feel Peter here about to rise up with another explanation of what they're seeing, and we will see this together next time. What did we just see here? The Spirit of God, through Peter, has offered this man physical and financial and spiritual healing. How so? His legs are fixed, which means he can now earn money himself, and he can now enter the temple. He is now praising God. What happens after? This man goes away never to be seen or heard or recognized again? No, that's not it. Our text says everyone saw the change in this man and were filled with wonder themselves. Everyone saw the change. We cannot miss this. We like to focus in on the good deeds or the miracles or even the words of Jesus himself. Do not miss the change. Peter took the time to enter this man's life and to present to him his Savior, and everything changed. Change is vital in salvation. Not just miracles or having needs met, but actual change within a person. This man could have ran anywhere. Ran home, ran to the markets, ran off into the distance. He runs through the temple doors. He could have done any number of things, but his healing has now been revealed to all these people, and he is now praising God. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed, but be transformed. 2 Corinthians says, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. The old has passed away. Scripture says you are born again. Scripture says you will have fruit. Scripture says it'll be from darkness to light. It says it'll be from death to life. Imagine if this man said he had the Holy Spirit and he has now been healed by God, but he never leaves the place where he was laid. Actually, nothing changes in his life and he still cannot use his legs. This would be silly to us, and we would laugh and say, well, you weren't healed by God then. You won't leave your spot. You still can't use your legs. You were not healed. You do not have his Spirit. We can tell by what we see. The getting up and the running and the dancing was the witness to his change.
Amen.
Now, many of us in here and online would say amen to that. There must be changed. There must be fruit. James says your faith is revealed through your life lived. We would agree with all these things. And at the same time, some of us are the same person we have always been. Claim Christ and still our old selves. This is obvious in our generation by our social media accounts. We can see it in our lives when our conversations, our interactions, maybe our phone calls and text messages, but in our generation, social media accounts, Satan did a real number on this world when he turned everyone's attention on themselves.
Amen.
That is what social media is. It's an attitude of look at me. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. My opinions are important and yours are not. Guess who is your Lord in this scenario? It is not Jesus. It pains me to log on and see the Christian witnesses of many destroyed with memes. With hurtful words and looking down upon others, with the comments section. My question is, what are you gaining? Has it ever done anything but spread the divide? Has it ever done anything but spread hate and confusion and fear? My answer is yes, it has done something else. It has revealed who you are. The negativity I see online never reveals the other person. It always reveals you. Are you in Christ? Have you been changed by God? A new creation? Do we see this follower of Jesus you claim to be in the comment section of posts? Is seeing someone liking your posts more important than turning someone away from Jesus forever? Because that's what you're doing. Be slow to think and slow to type and slow to press enter. I've had countless times where I've wanted to press enter. Oh, I've wanted to press enter this past week, this past year. It is not worth it to be the king of your post for a moment means hiding the true king from others. Amen. What will it be? What will your social media reveal you to be? There's no hiding from this man in our text today. There was no hiding what Jesus had done for him. What has Jesus done for you? Do you hide it or do you reveal it to the world? Jesus said, if you are mine, you will hear my voice and follow me. He says, if you are mine, you will not deny me in front of others. Are we his? Today, Peter revealed to us what should be important. It was not the miracle, though this did reveal the power of God. What should be important to us is the people around us. We need to see them and interact with them. We need to be helping hands and we need friendships formed. Today we saw that even the smallest thing can have a big impact in a person's life. This man was helped to the temple, which helped him to Jesus. This man had his needs met without ever receiving money. More importantly, the gospel was lived out in front of him and provided an opportunity for the Spirit of God to reign within him. Finally, we dove into our own Christian witnesses. What does it look like in our homes and in our places of work and in our online activities? Are you revealed to be Christians in these places? As we head out this morning, maybe our priority is that we should pray for the courage and the patience and the wisdom to be the Christian we are called to be in every aspect of our lives. Not perfect, but different. Not removed from the world, but set apart from it. What do our lives reveal us to be? Maybe this morning you've taken a look at your life and you realize that Jesus is not a part of it. You have been in church, you have read the Bible, but He is not in your life. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And you will be changed by Him. You will move from a sinner in a fallen world to a sinner saved by Jesus today. Amen. Who are we? Who are we? Can others see it? Bring any needs at all as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for so much for this time together this morning. We thank You for Your holy word and all its insights into our own lives. We thank You for the words on these pages that they can penetrate our very souls and change our hearts forever. We thank You for Jesus. And Father, we just ask now as we leave, we have the courage to show others who Jesus is. By our walk, by our words, by our interactions, and by the gospel being shared. Everyone needs Jesus. We know this. Help us live this. In Jesus' name I pray.